truly need the Lord this morning. I want the focus to be on our Lord. I'm not interested very much in focus being on man. I know God wants us to be willing vessels unto Him, but the focus should never be on the vessel. It should be on what God's saying. And so this morning we want to look into some of God's Word over in Genesis, 18th chapter. Want to let the Scripture speak to us today. I was actually looking at another subject when I was reading over here in Genesis, and I got captivated by the interaction that God had with another man, and their communication. This was real. I mean, this was something that God Himself came and talked with a man. Isn't that special? Yes. Folks, we need to have a heart that's open and hungry for the Lord. Yes. We're lost without Him. And we're at His mercy. But one thing we can cling to with full assurance is we have a God who loves us, who is love, and He has provided a way that we don't have to reside in the state of staying lost. We don't have to be lost, that there is salvation that He has brought to us. And this is some of the early parts of the plan of salvation being set into motion. This is where God Himself dealt with a man, and He said there was a blessing going to come through this interaction, through this, down this pathway. And I would take note now as we're setting, as we're here in Genesis, the 17th, 18th, and 19th chapters in this area, I would take note that this was before the law of Moses. This predated all that. This is where God talked with a man. Now, He's done that before, down through history, other places too. But this was a unique encounter. It was a very special moment. I actually want to start with the first verse of the 17th chapter of Genesis. And when Abram, this is before the Lord changed His name to Abraham. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I don't know what perhaps Abram's idea was of God before this. I know he had heard the voice of the Lord and he had left the land of Ur. We look and try to investigate a little bit about the land of Ur. It wasn't particularly a land that worshiped the Lord. They worshiped, they were steeped in a lot of paganistic type worship. This was the influence around him. Ur, the land of Ur, where they believed that he may have come from, was actually a land that was fairly advanced in that day. When we say running water or sewer system, it's a little different than what our running water and sewer system is today. But they had these things that they developed back then, that they in their city. This was the area that Abraham was living in. And the Lord said to him, He said, I want you to take your wife Sarah, and I want you to leave this land and go into a land that I'll show you. I find it intriguing that Abraham heard that and believed enough, and I don't know what kind of interaction, how real his voice, I don't, but the Lord had came and talked and confronted Abram at that point and said, leave this area and take your wife and go. It's difficult, I think, especially for the wife whose her house is her home and her house is, that's where she's, that's her domain. And it's hard for her to just get up and leave that and take a tent and go out into the desert. I think my wife, if I had done that, if I had come and said, told my wife, I said, you know, the Lord spoke to me and we're supposed to leave. First question, she would have said, are you sure? The next question would have said, where? And I couldn't have answered the second. Don't know where. We're taking a tent. But there was an element. I heard the voice of the Lord and I believe him enough that I'm going to go without knowing where. I'm going to tell you, this is some of the reasons why this man was known as the father of the faithful. He heard the voice of the Lord and he acted. He believed and was willing to put his future in the hands of the Lord. Sometimes we might think, well, he put his future at risk. Well, he did. But he wasn't so much at risk because he believed the voice that he heard and he laid it in his hands. Sometimes in this course of going from there to where he finally ended up as being having a son of promise, he also had a son called Ishmael. All that happened. There was a lot that went along this road. And now he's 99 years old. And he's still wondering. He's the father of the faithful, folks. And you read this story, not going to cover. I'm going to just recount a little bit just to refresh our memories. What we're talking about here, this is the same one that also heard the voice of the Lord say, take your son, thy son Isaac, and make a sacrifice to him, of him to me. Bring that promise that I gave you and give it back to me. And he did. That, I'm going to tell you folks, is he's a father of the faithful. All right, 99 years old, and the Lord said unto Abraham, came and spoke to him personally, I am the Almighty God. I am the one. I am the Almighty God. He introduced himself to him as being the Almighty God. I'm not just Moloch, I'm not Baal, I'm not all these other pantheon of entities that people try to create and try to make I am the Almighty God. That's who I am. I'm not one that people have decided to worship. I am the God. I am the Almighty God. And then he looks at him and says, walk before me. And be thou perfect. We always walk before the Lord, don't we? Whether we know it or not. I'm in the sight of him. I can't hide from him. I can't hide my thoughts from him. The thoughts and intents of my heart is known of him. The purposes that build up within me and begin to be acted out, all that is known of him. He knows how to judge. He has a right to, because he knows and he's holy. He's the Almighty God. And this is the God that came and talked to Abraham and said, walk before me. In and be thou perfect. This is who the Lord appeals to you and I, not just to Abraham, but also to us. And he says, I have requirements of you. I have a desire for you that you would walk uprightly and perfect. I want you to, and it's not to make our life miserable. That's not what this is. The reason why the Lord calls us to a place of noble walking before him, walking perfectly before him, the reason why he calls us to that is that by doing so, by living and walking before the Lord in a perfect and a noble and upright and a godly, a holy way, the reason why he asks us to do that is because he prevents us from being in such a horrible pitfalls. Living for the Lord guides us around damage, guides us around heartache. I will say this. It affects so many areas of our life. If we walk before the Lord, you take a couple and they get married And if both of them love the Lord and put Him first in their life, and if they do that lifelong, the Lord will prevent divorce. You won't have it. Because your heart's fixed on Him. See what the Lord... Your children won't know the pain of parents fighting. You see what the... This is the effect of walking perfectly before the Lord. This is the reason why He calls it, I'm Almighty God. I'm right. The Lord knows who He is, and He's not ashamed. He's not afraid either to call us to a place that prevents damage in us. Prevents also separation, eternal separation from Him. Walk perfectly before me. Now I don't want to... He went on and conversed here with Abraham and called him to a covenant. He said he would have a covenant with him, and through him all nations would be blessed. At this point, he already had one son named Ishmael. It was a son that really wasn't the one that God truly designed. That wasn't... He allowed him to have the son Ishmael and used it typically as a type in the old... He used that throughout history. But that wasn't... Ishmael wasn't the son of promise. And so he told him that he would give him a son. And in reading this, I noticed, you know, we always hear that Sarah laughed. Remember when they came and said that Sarah's going to have a child? And she was over in the tent. And remember, she laughed within herself. She laughed. Didn't do it outside. She didn't laugh outside. She laughed within her. She wasn't the only one that laughed. So did Abraham. You find that when the Lord told him that he was going to have a son, he also laughed. You read the 17th chapter, you'll find that was his reaction also. It's hard for humans to perceive something so supernatural as the Lord doing something. But He is God Almighty. Yes. And He stands before us. It was hard for us to perceive recently when we saw Sister Brenda in such a case that it looked like her life wasn't going to be very... She wasn't going to be here very much longer. That was our human perception. And the Lord Almighty came by. The Lord Almighty came and healed her body. So who do we praise for that? Which one of us had the power of prayer to reach the throne of God and affect Him to change? Folks, it was God Himself. Walk before me perfectly. Because He's holy. He's right. The Lord made a covenant with Abraham. And He had signs of that covenant, outward signs. He asked them to... This is where He instituted the institution of circumcision as a sign of that promise or that covenant. It's more than just a promise. It was a covenant that He made with them. Maybe we'll go ahead and go on down here then to the 18th chapter. There's other... Just read it sometimes. When I read through this and I thought... It's truly a remarkable interaction between God and a man. And the Lord, 18th chapter, again it starts off here at the beginning, says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and he saw them. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground. Abram at this point still. Oh, maybe he was Abraham at this point. Abraham was a mighty man. He wasn't used to bowing down to ordinary folks. I don't think, anyway. I don't know what the custom was. But this was Abraham. He had... Many men. He was a wealthy man. He was a man of prestige in his area. He was looked up to. He had a lot of authority. And this man, heat of the day, he looked up and he saw three people standing over there. And he went to them and his reaction was to bow before them. Wonder what he saw in these three. There was something about his perception, I think. Where was it? Maybe it's in this chapter. Where the Lord talked about the character of Abraham and said, I know him, that he'll teach his children. He'll command his family. This is the character of Abraham. There was things about him. He had an ear to hear the voice of the Lord. He hungered and he looked toward him and the Lord met him, came to him. And the Lord appeared to him and he lifted up his eyes and he ran to them and he bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight. Now, who were these three? What does it say at the beginning? The Lord appeared. You notice two went on to the, and we call them angels, don't we, later on? Went on down to Sodom. One didn't go on. And he was identified as the Lord. Truly a remarkable, in the scripture, an account. I don't know what this form was before them, before Abraham. But it said the Lord appeared, and he bowed before them, and he said, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant, Abraham. The notable man, the man of authority, he said, don't go on. Don't leave me. I'm your servant. Stay here. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that, ye shall pass on. For therefore, I noticed too, now, I wonder how many times the Lord may appear to us and we don't recognize it. But there was, and I wonder if they wouldn't have passed on. I know they would have later on when they interacted with Lot. They acted as though, no, we'll stay in the street. And Lot pressed him. He said, no, don't. You stay with me. And it sounds like Abraham in this situation also, he said, if I please stay, rest yourselves, comfort your hearts. I want to do something for you. There, I think the Lord will stop by. Remember when the road to Emmaus, Jesus acted as though he would go on, and the disciples said, "No, it's late. Stay and let's eat." And then their eyes were opened. I believe that this is kind of one of those cases here. I think the Lord was there. The Lord showed up and he interacted with Abraham. And Abraham in his heart, he said, stay, stay. And the Lord did. And he began to reveal more to Abraham. Okay. My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away. Don't go on. Don't keep me. I pray thee from thy servant. I pray thee, from, don't go on beyond here from thy servant. Stay here. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched and wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. That's a reason why you're here, to be refreshed by me. And they said, so do as thou said. And Abraham hastened to the tent, Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it. And I don't know what significance that it is for kneading this bread, but he said, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man in haste to dress it. And he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, "Where's Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "Behold, she's in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, and was behind him, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old, and were stricken in age, and it ceased to be of Sarah as a manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxen old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard?'" Listen to this. Again, when we recognize things that are supernatural beyond the norm, the Lord questions us, "Where's your faith?" And he says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" This was the Lord challenging Abraham. If the Lord said it, he'll do it. "At the time appointed, I will return to thee and return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah denied it, saying, "I laughed not, for she was afraid." And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" There was a whole lot. All the nations of the earth will be blessed in him. There was a blessing that came down through Abraham that was the result of God doing a part and Abraham yielding to this that God did. There was a covenant. There was something that God did his part and Abraham covenanted with him to continue to follow the Lord. And because of that, there was an avenue opened up of blessing that came clear down to one that we know as Jesus Christ. And we call him our Lord and Savior because he is that, our Lord and our Savior. So this was a blessing. All nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. It's the reason why when we walk across the face of this earth, wherever we go, we can look at the Spanish people or the Mexican people or the African people or wherever they might come from, and we can look at them confidently and clearly in the face and say, "The Lord loves you and he wants to save you. He is our Savior." All the nations of the world will be blessed. It's not unique to one nation, or it's not unique to European people. Believe me, it's not. Nor the Jewish nation. It's not. It's unique to those whosoever will, let him come and drink. It is available to all. And this next verse says, "For I know him. In him all nations shall be blessed." Blessed in him. "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." It sounds like when you read this scripture, when you let the word itself speak, it sounds like it's contingent upon, he knows Abraham and this is his heart. He will teach his children and they will obey, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. We've noticed before that when people disobey, there's a different outcome. But the desire of the Lord is that there would be a blessing. And through Abraham, the Lord brought that blessing. He taught his children. And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah," this is the reason, sounds like, that the Lord came down. Sounds interesting to me. "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, And because their sin is very grievous, they were a big city, and it seems to me like the more times you get people to congregated together, they bolster each other in their evil ways, and they find ways to excuse evil. And they did that here at Sodom and Gomorrah, and they ran after their carnal passions and had no hemming in, no boundaries in their moral, and they let themselves go. And this was the vice and the evil that the devil brought them to. It was a debasing thing. They should have been hanging their head. They should have been ashamed. But they couldn't blush anymore. They'd come to a place that they no longer were ashamed of what they had done or where they had went to in their morals, loss of moral standards. And the Lord heard it, and he said, that brings a cry, the soul down there that God himself had created in mankind. The soul was crying for because of the defilement it was living in. It didn't feel good. The soul was imprisoned in these bars of sin that was captured. And the Lord said, I hear it. And he came down and had the oppression of the thing. And those, you think of what children must have endured being raised in such an environment. The innocence would be so stolen and so defiled as these children begin to grow up. Folks, we're not far from that today. Are we not? Lord, have mercy. Help us protect the innocent. And sometimes it's time to be ashamed of what we see going on. If anybody should have the moral feeling in their soul of repulsion, it should be God's children. A repulsion that is not full of carnality either. One that is that recognizes how defiling and a willingness to just push it so far. At the same time, show love to those that are captured in those prison houses. Surely there's hope for them too. And there is. But the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great. And because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. Going to see. Going to give them a chance to react. Going to confront them. Going to see. Folks, the Lord gives us a chance. And he's going to see how you return. The Lord will confront us. And at that moment, we can humble our heart and say, Lord, thou art God. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And the Lord brings salvation to us. But these people, you notice how they reacted as you go on down the story. They didn't react well, did they? They didn't humble their hearts. He said, I'll go down and see. And I will know. Well, here, 21st verse. I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. And Abraham stood yet with the Lord. Again, it seems to me like an amazing to think of God standing beside a man. I think many times when our eyes can't see, he's still doing that. Though our eyes can't see. And it would, Lord, help us to have an open heart that we might see. Spiritual eyes might be open that we might see. That we might perceive that God is there. And be, perhaps feel a little bit like Isaiah did when he was confronted with the Lord and he humbled his heart. And folks, when we find ourselves in the presence of the Lord, it does something. We can't stand up in human arrogance. We humble our hearts and say, Lord, what do you have to say? And I believe Abraham, this was quite an interaction that he had with the Lord. Abraham drew near and said, this is 23rd verse, Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Here he was knowing. The angels, the other two, went on down to Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew what they were going to encounter. Abraham knew in his mind that where they're going is a great wicked place. And he said, "Lot's there. I've got family down there. There are those that's not involved in this." And Abraham said, "Lord, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there'd be 50 righteous." And in his mind, I wondered if he thought, is there 50? He chose that. The righteous are few and far between today, too. They just are. But in his mind, he was thinking, Lord, have mercy on them. And he pled with the Lord, and the Lord listened to him. And he said, "If there's 50 within the city, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are there?" And the Lord, he said, "That be far from," this is Abraham still talking, "that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of the earth do right?" And the Lord said unto him, If I find in Sodom 50 within the city, I won't destroy it for their sake." I know I'm putting that in my words. 27th verse, "And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord." I think I would have felt very awkward in this exchange with the Lord. But Abraham, he was pressed in his spirit, I believe, and realized that there's people down there that he wants the righteous to be preserved. And he had loved ones that he cared about. And he pressed in his mind, probably thought, there's not 50 there. And he said, "Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. I know I'm nothing. And I'm standing before the Holy One, the Almighty. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 in the city." And he said, "If I find there 40 and 5, the Lord said, "if I find 40 and 5, I will not destroy it." And he spake unto him yet again and said, "Peradventure there shall be 40 found there." Not just 45, but 40 now. And he said, The Lord said, I will do it. I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I'll speak. Peradventure, there shall 30 be found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Behold, I've taken upon myself to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there." And the Lord said, "I will not destroy it for 20's sake." And he said, "Lord, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I'll speak yet this once. Peradventure, there shall be found there. Peradventure, there a 10 shall be found there." And the Lord said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And the Lord went his way. As soon as he had left communing with Abraham, the Lord went his way, and Abraham returned into his place. I wonder what must have went through Abraham's mind when he walked away. Knowing, probably had great doubt in his mind, even of 10 down there. Lot's there. The angels went on. 19th verse. "And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you." You notice Lot did a lot the same thing that Lot did, similar thing that Abraham had done. He went and saw him, and he bowed down. Lot was considered a mighty man in Sodom and Gomorrah also. He was one of the chief there. But he saw strangers come in, and he went and he entreated them. He bowed down. There is a great quality that the Lord would have built within all of us. A great humbleness, a love for a fellow man, a desire to interact kindly and justly with our men, with those around us. That's what happened here. Lot went and he humbled himself and he bowed before them. He said, "I pray you, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early and go in your ways, on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast. And he did bake unleavened bread. I don't know whether unleavened bread is different than the kneaded bread. That I don't know. He baked unto them unleavened bread. And they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. It's an amazing thing to me what depth, what of depravity that the people had went to. You would have thought there'd have been a general sense of shame, that they wouldn't have had pride in their action. Be careful what we ascribe value to. Shouldn't have pride, and pride goeth before a fall. It's not a moral thing to have carnal pride. It's just not. Here, this situation, the people gathered around there and compassed. It said the men of the city compassed the house round about, old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us." They had vile thoughts. They weren't moral at all. And Lot went out at the door unto them, shut the door after him, and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not wickedly. Behold now," I don't know, this next verse is hard for me, and I'm not sure I even want to read it. You can read it. Something I don't understand, I just have to admit. It seems horrible that this type of vileness had come to this place. Said, "These men that have come to me, that put themselves under the shadow of my roof, I'm here to protect them." And they said, ninth verse, they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one, he will needs be a judge. This one fellow came to sojourn, and he will need be a judge." Have you ever heard people say, "Don't judge me"? They had this here too, didn't they? Folks, be careful. We don't have the right to execute eternal judgment on people. That's all true. We do have a right to say what the Word of God says. And the Word of God came against this type of vileness. The Word of God itself does not shove people away. Does not The Word of God brings hope. At the same time, it clearly delineates or shows where the lines of moral value. But God Himself, along with that, they could have returned and said, I don't want to be like this. All of them could have, they could have come to the Lord at this moment and said, they could have said, Lot, you're right. This is wrong for us to feel this way. And I think the Lord would have reacted differently to that. Lord, help us to have such an attitude with people around us, not to shirk the truth that we know, but also not to shirk the love we know, and reach out and show hope to them. In this case, they were caught they were wicked. Do not this wickedly. And they said, you've come here and you've made yourself a judge. You just came here to sojourn and now you've made yourself a judge. Now, will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth the angels. We know, called them men here, but they were identified as angels. The men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men outside. They smote them with blindness. And both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. I think if I would have been some of those men outside the door, I think if I had encountered this, I'd have quit trying to find the door. Because I would have encountered the Lord. I wonder what their conversation must have been. Didn't any of them say, Lord, we've been wrong? It sounded like they were still feeling for the door. There is a hardness that comes over, a blindness that comes over the hearts of men when they reject the counsel of the Lord to the point that they disregard it and they have turned themselves completely burned in their own carnal desires. There's a blindness that comes over them that they reject the very avenue of hope that the Lord is holding out to them. And it's not just this type of sin. It is many. Sin brings such a stain and a blindness in people. Yeah. Folks, be careful. When the Lord comes and talks with us, notice that it's Him. Humble our heart. Listen to Him. I believe they had an opportunity here when they were smitten with blindness. That should have been a wake-up call. Just as, was it Balaam? I don't know how you talk back to a donkey with such a human carnal reaction when the donkey had spoken. None of us here have spoken to a donkey, have we? I mean, not a conversation anyway. We may have spoken at him, but with him, this donkey opened up the conversation. And I believe if I was Balaam, I believe I would have shrunk, knowing this is something supernatural. These men should have humbled themselves. They should have stepped back and said, we're wrong, brethren. We're wrong. What we've been doing, the Lord is here. Abraham was before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me in righteousness. What was it? In perfect. And be ye perfect. That's what the Lord said to Abraham. That could have been the same thing that these men heard. They had an encounter. God was there. They were smitten. They had physical touch of God on them, and they knew it was there. What was their reaction? They kept on in their wicked ways. They didn't have to. They chose to. God help us in our interaction of life. When the Lord comes and confronts us, most of the time He does it in such gentle ways. He will do the best He can to to preserve us. He doesn't want us to be crushed. He didn't want us to be destroyed. But he wants us to be awakened. And these men had the chance to be awakened. He touched them very, very clearly, very, very... They couldn't go beyond the fact that all of them were struggling now with blindness where they could see before. It should have been a real strong awakening in their spirit. They should have said, we're wrong. We're being confronted by God here. But they didn't. It went on. The men said unto Lot, do you have any? Hast thou here any besides your sons-in-law? Daughters, gave him an opportunity to go and tell them to get out of here. Give them a warning. Tell them the Lord's going to destroy this place. 13th verse, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. These two witnesses. That have come down, these two angels, these two look like men, these two. Let me step aside real quick. I'm not going to tell you this is what this really represents, but I would introduce it to your mind in possible thinking. God uses, he has two witnesses that he uses to communicate with you and I. God stayed back over there talking with Abraham, and the two went down there. You know, we know the two witnesses as God uses his word and he uses his spirit to interact, to communicate with you and I. And I don't know, perhaps these angels, I don't want to extrapolate too much from this. But it's possible. These were these two parts of God that went down there. They had great authority, did they not? They had great power. They had great... They went down there... Wouldn't call them angels. I don't want to force any ideas that shouldn't be. But think about it. Went down there and they said, we'll destroy. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord said unto them, and the Lord sent them to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto the sons-in-law, married his daughters, said, get up, get out of here, the Lord will destroy this place. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. What a sad condition. Is it much different today? I just ask us, is it much different? And when the morning rose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife, daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Get up and leave. This is urgent. You need to leave. This vileness here is affecting you. This what you're living close to, what you're allowing close proximity in your life. There's destruction. Don't live so close to the world, saints. Just don't be in that place where we begin to take on the thinking of the world. We know that this affected greatly Lot's children and Lot's wife. Get up and leave. I know we're living in this world. God's not saying for us to necessarily physically try to leave this world, but leave that thought process. Don't let that be part of our life. Don't go out and say, well, I'm going to interact. I'm going to see if I can understand them. Because as we're understanding them, maybe we're understanding things God doesn't want us to allow in our life. There was a mindset that they had imbibed, they'd gotten so close to, that really caused destruction. He told them, get up, hurry. Came to pass when they had... the morning, and he told, the angel said, get up and leave. Arise, take your wife. It said, while they lingered, 16th verse, the men laid hold upon their hands. Think, the word of God, does it sometimes lay hold on our heart? Does it not? Doesn't the Holy Spirit sometimes bring strong conviction and revelation to us, lays hold on us and says, get out of here. Don't live that close. Isn't that what God does in our, as I relay this to our, how we live our lives today, God comes with His witness, His word, His spirit, and He lays hold on our hearts. Sometimes He lets us know and we see the vileness and we recognize, and the Lord says, don't live so close to it. Get up and leave. And we feel the urgency of it. And He's urgent. And then while we linger, He lays hold on us and says, it's of utmost importance. You've got to leave. Oh, thank God for His convicting power. Thank God for His word that comes and reveals Himself to us and shows us boundaries of life. Shows us things, sometimes it's attitude, sometimes it's things that's buried in our heart that God reveals. He lays bare and helps us to see. He lays hold on our heart and says, leave it. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And this is part of what we must do. We recognize where God has touched in our life. God would have us be willing to acknowledge that. Not only acknowledge, but leave it. Because God lays His hand on us and says, turn from that. Angels laid their hand on these and had them. I'm sorry, time's really good. And we're close. I'm going to resort to just telling you some of the rest of the story. Lot said, it's too far to flee to the mountain. They said, go to the mountain. Go up. When you get out of here, go to the mountain. I want to tell you, saints, when God calls us away from worldly things, He points to the high places. He says, well, go there. Don't we yet live in Mount Zion? Oh, it's not a physical place, but there's a spiritual place. High and lifted up. There's a place that's above the confusion of this world. There's a place that God calls us spiritually to that's above the confusion, all that the world deals with. There's a Prince of Peace that He calls us to. There's a place of rest in Him. And He calls us away from these things. These things that defile. God calls us away. Go to the mountain. And Lot, in his mind, oh, he should have said, Lord, it is a long way, but give me strength to climb that mountain. God help us that want the mountain. He settled for a little city. A little city, most of the time, is less defiled than the big cities, but still defiled. Don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching against cities. But I'm also making observation of what we find there. Lot said, the mountain's too far. I'm to the age, I don't know where I can make it. I'm afraid. And the Lord said, okay, you can go to the little city. And they were close enough at that little city when they saw the destruction. It caused such fear in Lot. He decided, I will flee to the mountain. And he did. But in the process of fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah, there was something still in the heart of his wife that was behind. It said the wife was behind Lot. I don't know what her age was or what the reason why she was back there. But folks, when we're fleeing things that are wrong, let our legs fly. Run. Lot was leading. His wife should have been in such urgency too that there, maybe she was dragging a little bit. Maybe she, and I understand in her heart she may have been saying, but I've got daughters back there. There's things I love, the house that we lived in. There's lots. But folks, when the Lord lays His hand on us and says, I don't want you to dwell in that land any longer, that worldliness, that those ideas that's in your mind. And He reveals to us by His word and by His spirit, He convinces us that this is dangerous land. And He lays His hand, His word upon our heart. And He says, flee, let's flee. Go for your lives. Because it is our lives we're going for. He's the Almighty God. And He says, walk before me perfectly. Walk before me in obedience, all your heart. Isn't that what we preach? Lord, I give my all to thee. Don't we? And shouldn't we? We should give our all to the Lord. And here, Lot was fleeing. His wife was back. She had some pull, evidently. I don't know what all was back there, but I know that the angel said, don't turn back, don't look back. And they did, or she did. And she didn't make it, did she? She lost on the way. She didn't get to Zoar. Didn't make it. Zoar was a little town, but she didn't make it there. And you go ahead and read the story. There was other effects of spiritual failure in the daughters. Even Lot was affected. I will stop here. But read the interaction of God with man. God hasn't stopped interacting with man. He still stands at our door and knocks. He still is looking for you and I to open our door and say, come in. He's still asking humans to flee evil. I'm not interested in creating a book, a creedal book that tells you where evil is today. I believe if I do that, I fear I would miss a place that the Lord would have in your life. That would leave you vulnerable. But I will tell you, there is a God who wants to talk with you. There is a God who is real. And He still talks with people. And He wants to guide our lives. He hasn't changed from this time when He did that to Abraham. But all He's looking for someone who's willing, open their heart and say, Lord, have your way. I'm not reserving to myself anything. You tell me what to do. I won't even reserve the promise you gave me. The child that you gave me. It was a child of promise, folks. That was hard for him to deal with. But I won't reserve anything. Even if I don't understand all that's going on. If I heard your voice, I'll do it, Lord. And in so doing, there will be a blessing. Through Abraham, there was a blessing to all of us. Through our obedience to the Lord, all men in this congregation, in this world, all men, the Lord has put a place, a real place of responsibility on us. God, help us to hear the voice of the Lord. God has tasked men with a place of certain leadership in the home, certain leadership in the world. If we don't have God as our head, if we don't find Him, if we don't hear His voice and seek for His voice, the rest are damaged because of our lack. But if we will hear His voice and allow Him to be the God and the Savior, the Lord of our life, then our families are blessed. The people around us are blessed. Through that is the avenue of blessing. But God, help us to not cover up or hold on to something that God Himself has laid His hand on. Be willing to turn from things that are evil. Communicate with the Lord. Hear His voice. And allow Him to bring a blessing in our lives. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.